Today I'm with Chris Jelly of Storywalks, and he's going to tell us about the QR codes along the Coleridge Way. Over to you, Chris.
Yeah.
So do you want to explain, what a QR code is?
QR stands for quick response. And they're really simple. They're square barcodes. On the back of a book, you'll get a linear barcode, which is just numbers and letters. But a square barcode has characters in it as well. So you can have commas and alphabetical letters as well as numbers. And I worked with 7 schools locally now, and we've walked on the Coleridge Way, we've done the word harvesting, have taken those words back into the classroom and then worked them into poems. And I've then taken those poems away, nice little short poems, and then I've transferred them into QR code. And then I've laser etched them onto stone and then reinstalled them back along the Coleridge Way. So as you walk, you'll come across these slates, sometimes on finger posts, sometimes they're on, we're at the Jubilee Hut, and there's 3 of these tiles actually on the post of the Jubilee Hut. And these, if you scan them, these are the poems that were written along this trail. So it's put the children's poems back into the actual location which inspired them.
Right, and how do they actually work in practice?
So to actually reveal them, you'll need a smartphone with an app on, and there's lots of free apps which do scanning. They're usually called Scan or something similar to that. So you download one of those, and then when you're on the trail, you open that up, and you basically point them at the QR code. So if I'm just going to point at this tile now with my smartphone, I'm just letting it focus, and it's beeped at me, and it says, and this is one child's poem. At Webber's post, I saw the raindrops chill down the shelter. The fog looked like a silver wolf. And it's great because I remember it was a really cold and wet day, and it was quite horrendous, but meant that the poetry became more extreme because of that, which was really nice. Let's have a look at a different one. Some of them are cruder than others, with shorter poems. Other ones are a little bit more detailed and got longer poems in. And interestingly enough, the horses have been rubbing against these, and they obviously like to read them too. As I travel down the path, I stumble, trip and laugh, as brown bouncy grass gives away to my boots when I tread.
And you don't need to be connected to...
No, we're off-grid here, totally off-grid. So the phone itself is using its cameras, looking at the square code, and it's just decoding it and changing it back from the square blobs back into characters. So this one, on this one QR code, which I've just decoded, says, "The squashy freezing mud in the shadowy brown wood. Nearly everything is good, apart from the weather and all the tripping up heather." So you see, and these are first school children. So they're a 7-year-old, 8-year-old,
right.
8 years old, that's the sort of... And these ones have been out for a year, and they're weathering not too badly, actually. So I'm quite pleased about that.
And what do you think about poetry in the 21st century? Because this is the poetry route for an 18th century poet.
Well, I think that's quite an interestingly, we're having a resurgence at the moment. And part of that, oddly enough, I can attribute to Twitter.
Right.
Because Twitter, within 140 characters, you have to say something quite erudite. And so suddenly people are starting to understand how to distill language down to less and kind of say more. So I really think, surprisingly enough, Twitter, I wouldn't say single-handedly, but it's certainly part of the profile which is changing. I mean, obviously, this using QR codes is different. But it's, you know, people's appreciation of art. It does come in cycles, and strong art and good pieces of work, you know, float. And it's quite interesting, you know, through the centuries, you know, which poets have, you know, kind of still bobbed along, as it were, and, you know, that still kind of have a rhythm that we can appreciate and understand today.
So, Chris, you're also involved in storybooks, so perhaps you could tell us about that.
Yeah, I've got a series of boxes along the Coleridge Way. So we've got blue tins, and they're basically usually zip-tied down in the locations, and each is a blue box with a book inside. Now, this is a storybook, and it's already started by an author, and so the story's already begun. And what you need to do is read the story so far, add a little piece, and then leave for the next person, and it's as simple as that. And so there's 6 of these along the Coleridge Way, and they went out just last week, and they'll be there for June, July and August, and when August is over, I'll be retrieving them all. But I do check them constantly throughout the summer and make sure they're all in good order, and replace the books when they're full and that sort of thing. But it's an organic story, so it's really quite enjoyable reading what people write and how the story kind of changes with 100 different authors. But I also ask people to draw. It's very simple. I say, read the story, write a line or two, but no more than a paragraph, make a sketch if you like, and then rehide for the next walker. And actually, last year we had over 1,000 people touch the project across the 3 months. So hopefully we'll have a similar sort of number this year.